Hey, what's up, my man? It's Sathya Sam here. Welcome to Unleash the Man Within. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I am sitting down with Lila Pizer. She is a betrayal trauma expert. And if you don't know what that is, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about the male experience of porn addiction and recovery and what that looks like. But a lot of the guys that are, you know, working with us and certainly the guys that tune into this show, you have a significant other, you know, you're dating, engaged, or you're married. And there is a completely different experience happening for the woman while you are going through recovery. And even if maybe she doesn't know what's going on, still a different experience taking place. And so we wanted to dedicate an episode. We do this every once in a while where we talk about the female experience of betrayal trauma. And I feel like, you know, we brought in lots of different women to come and talk about this. They all have a different perspective, their own experiences, and a lot of wisdom. But honestly, I think this was one of the best ones we've done. It was just, it was such a powerful story that Lila shared, her own experience. But then when we got into some of the depths, she gave a framework for handling anger that was just completely genius and really is applicable in any situation, but certainly amidst betrayal. And I feel like her understanding is just very, very comprehensive. So this is a great interview. If you're a guy listening, do not tune out, okay? Don't just ignore this. You actually should probably listen to this even more so that you understand what is going on in your significant other while you go through recovery. A very classic experience is, you know, guys get clean and then they feel like their marriage should be back on track, back to normal, and it's not. They don't understand why. And it's usually because they make the mistake of focusing solely on their recovery. It certainly should be prioritized. But there's things you can do in the relationship while you're recovering so that when you get free and clean, your relationship is also restored and the trust is starting to be rebuilt. And we talk all about that today. You're going to absolutely love it. And there is a link in the show notes for the women who do end up watching this. By the way, guys, if you want your wife to maybe feel a little bit more comforted in your recovery journey and understand what you're going through and also understand how she can look after herself and maybe she's not convinced she needs it, we talk about all that today as well. So make sure you send this to your significant others. And if she wants to do some work with Lila, there's a link in the show notes for you guys to do that as well. So without further ado, let's jump in. This is my interview with Lila Pizer. So here's the million-dollar question. How are men like us who work hard, have good motives, and a God-given purpose supposed to fulfill the calling on our lives and the dreams in our hearts, all while establishing sexual integrity, thriving relationships, and a meaningful connection with God? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Sathya Sam. Welcome to Unleash the Man Within. Okay, well, Lila, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's really great to be with you today.
Yeah, so I was telling you before we hit record, you know, anytime we talk about betrayal trauma, the spousal experience, I think it garners a lot of interest on both sides. You know, we have women listening and we obviously have men listening who are working through their own recovery journeys. I think as a starting point, it's always helpful to hear, how did you get into this line of work? What drew your interest and why are you helping women with betrayal trauma?
Okay. Well, this is personal testimony time then. back in 2004, my husband's second life came to light and it was absolutely devastating for me. We were at 27 years of marriage at the time and kids were late teens, early 20s, basically early 20s. And it just shook me to my core. Good news, if you want to call it that, was that we knew of an organization in our area that ministered specifically to this problem. And we were able to get in there and walk through their program and process. And it was so beneficial to have that support because I didn't know how big this thing was.
Why did you stick around? I'm just out of curiosity. Like when it came to service, did you think about leaving?
It was more like, are we going to need to have a divorce here?
Yeah.
And not so much me leaving because I honestly had no place to go. I was in shock. But I did go through the mental process of, okay, if this ends up in a divorce, what do I need to do? What do I have to prepare for? All of that. Our son was still living at home at the time. And Yeah, it was tough because I wasn't working full time. I was working part time, and I knew if that something like that happened, I wouldn't be able to support myself completely.
Yeah. That's a tough place to be for sure. And if you don't mind me, like, again, to whatever extent you're comfortable sharing, but how did it come about? How did you find out about what was going on?
Well, one night our son was going to go out with his girlfriend, and he came to me, said, "Mom, I want you to see something here. Come with me into the computer room. I want to show you something on the computer." So I sat down, and he said, "Did you open that file there?" He says, "I found it in the trash, and I put it on the desktop for you to see." And he says, "We're leaving now," and he left. And I opened it up and saw what my husband had been viewing. So it was pretty shocking. Pretty tough.
Yeah, my word.
And, yeah, that was the beginning of it all.
Yeah. So this is 2004. Mm-hmm. And you guys had a local organization. You get some support. Was this the kind of organization where they work with the husband and wife? Was it more focused on his recovery? Like, where does your piece come in? Were they working with you pretty much right off the bat?
Yes. Yeah. They had spouses groups, spouses counseling, started with an intake and meeting my counselor, and they were getting ready to start with a new session of group meetings in just a few weeks. So it was like, the timing was perfect, if you want to call it that. And their program was, they let us know from the beginning, it's 2 to 5 years, you know, depending on how you engage. And it was very, very vital. It involved individual counseling, group work, and then finding accountability for me too, you know, my support.
So was there any part of you that was like, why do I need help? You know, like he's the one who ruined our lives. What made you open enough to actually get some help yourself?
Because we've been married as long as we had at that point, I've seen a decline in our marriage, particularly over the previous five years. And I knew in my history, there was trauma. I knew that there had been trauma in my husband's history. I just didn't know how it had affected him. And honestly, I didn't know how my trauma had affected me either. And had done some individual counseling in the past myself, so I wasn't averse to it at all. But I knew that I really didn't want our marriage to dissolve, but I knew that we were going to have to really do some work to save it. And I knew that meant me too. So,
wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I give you amazing props for being willing to do that. I think that's pretty incredible. So you guys go through this process. You mentioned they laid it out for you. Hey, this is not a quick fix. This is 2 to 5 years you're looking at. And on the other side of it, when you guys finish your time with them, are you back in love? It's better. It's never been better. Like what did things look like when you did kind of go through that program with them and that experience?
Well, you go from disaster mode, you know, to walking through this. We walked through the jury at NCM there. It was 2 years for us, fully invested in the program. Then we graduated, which means start, you know. And we stayed with them for a couple of years afterwards, being small group facilitators, which was great. And it just furthered our process. But as far as how our relationship went, I see him working. I could see the change in him through that period of time. And it was like, there he is. There's the man that I love and the man that I married. He's in there. You know, it wasn't perfect. Because things had gotten very, very difficult before we got to this point. But it was definitely better than it has been. And I knew that it was going to be a process. And so that was very helpful. By the end of it, we were more connected than we had been.
Wow. After those 2 years.
A long time. And in some way. Yeah, after those 2 years, I mean, there was still a lot more work to do. Husband struggled with depression as well in all of this, and that made things complicated at times. So there's a lot of up and down, but it was like going like this, you know, it was improving. And it has continued to. I mean, we're 20 years this year into this, and there's still things that pop up from time to time as far as growth and memories that pop up and things like that, that's all part of the journey too. You know, it's not necessarily he's struggling. He's not. It's just more, I don't know, insight, revelation, whatever you want to call it, as to the processes that have been where all this came from, you know, for him.
It sounds to me, because it sounds like from early on, you were still like pretty loyal and pretty committed, which I think is quite amazing. But I'm curious, was there a time at some point in this journey where it occurred to you, I think we're actually going to have a healthy marriage one day? You know, like, we're not just going to survive this and stay together and maybe live in roommate syndrome for the rest of our lives, but I think we're actually going to have a healthy marriage again one day. But did you have any kind of turning point like that, or where you could start to see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah. I think there was, you know, you don't know what you don't know. But initially in those 2 years, just feeling like things were so much better, but I had no idea how much more growth there was going to be in the years to come. And for both of us, individually and together. And it's hard to describe. I mean, there were a couple of slip ups and one relapse involved in all that time. But one of the things I really appreciated is his willingness to keep working and keep growing. And then that I knew that I needed to keep working and keep growing too, just not only for this, but just being a human being and being a Christ follower. That's a huge part of it right there. Yeah. Huge part. Yeah.
So I can understand someone, you know, you've gone through this, you guys come out on the other side, the marriage kind of trends in the right direction. And Sean and I will get these questions as well, where it's like, okay, you had your own story. That's cool. But why are you helping other people? You know, what would make you crazy enough to submit yourself into these situations where people are in crisis and, you know, kind of at their all-time worst and bail them out? What, how did this transition into the work that you're doing today?
Okay. Originally, when I was in college, I was a psychology major. And I'd always been interested in working with people. It was something, even as a teenager, I would have random friends come and just sit down and start pouring out their lives to me. And I'm like, okay. I just didn't know, I don't know why, but I really feel like the Lord let me know that that was something he put in me. So there's that piece of it. But then after walking through what I walked through, especially going through the spouses group, and seeing all the different women, we had 33 women in our spouses group when I was there, and different stories, different backgrounds. I mean, probably not people I would have connected with outside of this experience, wouldn't have known them, but just hearing the stories and watching their lives and how they were dealing and how they were coping. And then those years we continued on as small group facilitators, it's really locked it in my heart that women need help. We have these situations that come up in life and we need someone to walk with us and to help kind of guide us through the process, because I got to have the benefit of that. And I wanted to give back. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you give us an idea of maybe what it would look like if somebody approaches you? What kind of situations are people typically, and are they coming to you when, you know, the woman has just found out and she's sort of reeling from kind of the same trauma you would have gone through when you saw those files that were in the trash can? Is it that kind of thing? Or is it later where, you know, the guy's starting to recover and they're realizing, man, you know, he's doing better, but the marriage is still really struggling. And I'm just curious, like, what is it that would prompt somebody to actually come and get your services?
I've experienced women from a full spectrum. I was coming in. Either they just found out and they're totally devastated, or husband's been doing some work and maybe they've read some books and things, but they just realize that, yes, there's some struggles. There's like something, I need something more. And it just depends where they're coming from. My husband and I also did 3 years of pastoral counseling at the recovery center we actually went through. And we can included that last year, which was a great experience, because under the heading of pastoral counseling, while that center is focused on sexual and relational brokenness, folks from all kinds of backgrounds and with all kinds of needs come through there. So it really broadened our experience and our understanding and gave us some new tools too. And Chelsea ran into some very unique situations.
I bet. Yeah, I was a pastor for 10 years and I saw some things there as well, you know, before getting to this kind of work. It's quite interesting. What would you say to a woman who maybe is hearing this and saying, hey, I'm so happy for you, Lila. You know, that sounds awesome. But you don't know what my husband's been through. You don't know what he's done. This is different. You know, it's clearly his problem. Or maybe something like, I won't get help unless he gets help. You know, what do you say to women who maybe are just having a hard time reconciling how they would need to get some support when, you know, the man is the one with the addiction or the main issue?
Right. Well, first of all, whenever you live in a home with an addict, you are definitely impacted and you've been affected and you deserve to have help as well. Whether or not the husband ever chooses to go through the journey for himself, you need to be able to have a place where you can find out what's going on in your heart and you can find healing and strength to become who God's called you to be. But so often, women, we lose our voices in these circumstances to one degree or another. And finding our true healthy voice is something that is so important for us in going on in life. Once it impacts, if you have children, it impacts the children too. So stepping in to becoming healthy so that you can help your children be healthy is so valuable as well.
Yeah.
So valuable.
Can you talk a little bit about the impact on children? What happens when this takes place? I know you mentioned you still had one child at home at the time when you guys went through it, but just, and he was obviously the one who found the files, but you know, what is the impact that this has on the kids?
Well, it's profound because if there's someone struggling with any addictions, but especially porn addiction, this person is not engaged in their family life fully. They're not engaged in the marriage. A lot of the responsibility falls to the wife to hold everything together. You know, I tell you, I felt that. I was not happy about it. I had someone tell me, oh, you're the strength of your family. And I just wanted to yell at him. I don't want this. You know, I don't want all this. And so you've got children who are being neglected, so to speak, you know, in a way. And there can be, because of the range of reactions that the struggler can have with anger, with just like not being engaged, they can be overly strict or too passive, you know, all these dynamics that can come in and affect how the children are raised. And if mom's trying to hold it together or mom's becoming reactive too, that's not a healthy environment for children to be raised in and will tend to perpetuate the problem.
Huh. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
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 What was the impact on your son?
He had lost respect for his father. And I remember one night they got into a very serious argument and Rocky was not in a good place at all. He was in a very bad place and it almost came to blows. And I remember I'm literally kneeling on the floor, hugging my husband's legs, saying, you've got to stop. You've got to stop. You know, and just, and they did. It did come to blows, but it was very, very scary. And I thought we lost our son at that point.
Wow.
You know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And 20 years later, while we're still talking about your son, you know, are there still, like, I can imagine for you, like, you know, triggers will still come up from time to time. And obviously you're better equipped to deal with them now. And you guys have 20 years of history of rebuilding this thing. What's it like with your kids 20 years later? Is there an improvement there? Has trust been restored there as well?
Yes. It's been an amazing journey in that respect. When we graduated the program, our daughter just had her first baby. So we had our first grandchild.
Oh, wow.
And our daughter actually was a psychology major and is a therapist now.
Hey, there you go.
So she was away at college for a lot of this. And so for both our kids, they got to see us walk through this. And this is something else that is really important and powerful for couples to recognize. And for any of us, if we need to do a healing journey, is that when we step in and choose to make that journey and do that and change and grow and become healthy, it gives those around us permission to do the same thing. And it gives our children permission to see not only that they can make changes in their lives too, but it also go on that journey of discovery of who their parents are now and see this change and see this growth and this development. And it brought a lot of grace and mercy to the situation to allow them. We have great relationships with our children. And it happened pretty quickly. Rocky and our son worked together for probably 10 years in the construction field. And they grew very, you know, close together. We just had dinner at their house last night and it was wonderful. You know, it's so thankful that we did this because we have relationship with our children and we have relationship with our grandchildren and we have seven of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so grandkids, that is not children.
Yeah. 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 No, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So worth it. So worth it.
Wow. Yeah. Sean, I'm hogging all the questions here, man. You wanna chime in? You wanna ask anything?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's special to hear as Sathya and I are dads now, so it's special to hear how God's restored our lives and seeing that in clients. So to hear your story, Lila, and those details is really special. And like I said, I know Rocky, you know, I wish I knew him better, but I got to know him a little bit and I know some of the approaches that he learned through Drew and other guys. You guys are doing great work. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about some of the ins and outs of how you are helping women. Like one of the things that I really saw in you when we met for the first time to kind of work on this partnership to be able to affiliate is you're a very safe person. You had a real heart for women. That's such a right. huge element, probably more than the content and the application steps we give them is helping women feel safe, helping our men feel safe. So what does it look like for a woman to work with you? What are some of those key steps that you work through with them? I think that's so great for them to get a picture of if they were going to book a call with you. What could that look like?
Yeah. First and foremost, it's listening. I mean, I'm sure you know that. And listening to their story and getting a sense of who they are, where they come from, is why we do an intake at the beginning, usually once someone's committed to going through the process. Usually the first few sessions are going to involve getting their family history and their spiritual history because we are faith-based and also their sexual history because the reality is that the spouses generally have as much trauma in their lives as the strugglers do. They just may not always recognize it. So very gently talking through their story and finding out, well, how did your parents relate to one another? What was it like to be disciplined in your home? And were you met as a child? Were you attuned to? Things like that. But also their current story and struggles they face in this season, not only with their spouse, but there could be work stresses, there can be family stresses, dynamics with extended family, you know, just all kinds of things. And listening to that and offering support, I have certain curriculums that I use, books they can read, handouts that are helpful. A lot of us struggle with anger. I've got a great little handout for anger, working through that, and using that as a tool to discover what's really going in our hearts.
Can you talk a bit more about that?
Sure.
What's going on when they're dealing with that anger and how do they work through it?
Okay. It's very simple. So let's say your clients, and I would say, okay, I want you to get a piece of paper and something to write with. And on that piece of paper, I want you to draw a box, a square. Doesn't have to be huge. And then I want you to draw two lines in it, so it's like a three-layer cake. Call this the anger cake. So in the first, the top box, put anger. In the second box, we're going to put hurt or longing. Hurt. The third box, we're going to put longing. So you're angry. I want you to think about what was going on when you were getting angry. What was going on for you there? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? And usually when that's happening to us, there's just a blur of stuff taking place once we hit that point, right? So having to backtrack it a little bit. And so let's identify what was hurting you in that moment. What was causing you fear or pain or hurt right there? And identifying that piece and sitting with that for a few minutes and just kind of talking through what that is and what it involves. Okay, let's, sitting from that place now, let's take a look. What might the longing of your heart be that is not being met, that is causing you that pain and is causing you that hurt? And it can be a little tough to get to that last step, you know, to really think about it, because you have to learn how to be somewhat self-aware, and that's usually a challenge that we have to work through. That it's so amazing when the lights go on. It's like, oh, what I really wanted was for him to hold me and not yell at me. You know, something like that. Or it can be going back to, you know, our history. I just really wish that I could have gotten that recognition when I was a kid, you know, when I did well in school, you know. Those kinds of things, they go really deep. And there's, it's going to sound a little strange, but I'm going to say, I really like it when we get to that point and someone's crying, because I know we've really hit that spot.
So when a woman's going through this process, and so you're helping her, you know, build that self-awareness, that's the first pillar of kind of our system as well. Like, we really see the value of that. I know, and I think I saw this when I was looking through your website, but like, there's often the trauma, the betrayal trauma lands on other pre-existing trauma that maybe they were or were not aware of. Is it when you're going through kind of the anger cake, is that typically when this starts to surface, or how are people connecting those dots and tying in some of those more, you know, original trauma stories into what's taking place presently?
Anger cake can do that. But usually once we've done the intake and I have a sense of their story and their history, then I can, as we're sharing, I can ask questions to tie what's going on now to maybe something in the past. So, and to be able to just create, like you say, facilitate that space for them to connect the dots. You know, so asking a question like, wow, I really see that you're very challenged with authority, with men in your lives, feeling like you're inadequate. What was that like with your dad? Where did you experience that before is really a better way to ask it. Where did you experience that before in your life? Or, you know, if you're having this recurring kind of thing, can you sit back into where maybe did that start? I have a few tools. I know I talked to Sean about this, but I have some tools from Adam Young Counseling with some handouts that he has, the Big Six and the podcast that he has that go with that. Those are super helpful to help people kind of see where, well, I had a great life. My parents, you know, I never wanted for anything. And it's like, okay, well, that's wonderful. I'm curious, were you attuned to, you know, and even giving them, what is that, you know? So that's where the handout, I think, becomes really helpful. Recognizing those places, and it's not to punish our parents, so to speak, but it's to be able to engage with and recognize that maybe everything wasn't as wonderful as I thought it was.
That's a tough place for a lot of clients to get to. And if I'm remembering correctly, you and Rocky are, I'm not sure the terminology, but ACE certified adverse childhood experiences. That's a incredible thing. And I know certifications, qualifications, they are important to some level, but I think it builds a lot of credibility. I know you guys have gone through some training, so I'd be curious to know what those are and how those have made an impact in your coaching as well.
Okay. ACES was really great training. Just real quickly, the background on that was a study that was done between Kaiser Permanente and the CDC back in the 90s. And they published the results of that study in 1997. And it was looking at how possibly do adverse childhood experiences impact lifelong health. And they came up with a little questionnaire. It's 10 questions, and it's yes, no answers. And you get 1 point for every yes. And the higher your score, the higher the possibility of a shortened lifespan. Yeah. And so it's going like 20 years, up to 20 years, they found that in the study. And so it's questions are dealing with, did you have adequate food? Did you have to wear dirty clothes? Was anyone in your home ever in prison or in jail? Was there physical abuse? Was there sexual abuse? I mean, the obvious ones, but some of these aren't quite as obvious, particularly, you know, because as a kid, your normal's your normal, you know, and you don't know until maybe you go over to play at a friend's house or you get older and you can see that maybe this is not quite what everybody does when they're in home and how people live. Just the impacts of that. So going through that study and going through that training helped us to see how trauma really does have huge impacts on people's lives in so many ways. There's a lot of illness that we see, particularly the autoimmune stuff, where doctors are saying, hey, you know, this is our best guess as to what's going on. That this study was able to tie in and say, oh, it's because of this trauma that people carry, hypervigilance they carry, their system, their adrenal system is just overloaded all the time, you know, and how important it is to, first of all, recognize it. And then secondly, work through some of those things. And so we have curriculum for that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you just described my wife to a T, you know, and she's been on the podcast before, so she's shared some of that. But, you know, the trauma history and the impact on those autoimmune diseases and, yeah, the overactive adrenals, all that. So I've witnessed that firsthand, but definitely know it to be true as well, just from the studies and stuff. It's quite interesting. So, you know, you've worked with so many women now over the years, and I'm just curious, are there any qualities that you would observe in your success stories where you say, you know, when it seems like when a woman has X, Y, Z in place, you know, whether they're character qualities or something else, that seems to really position them for success. Or maybe it's the inverse where it's like, you know, if they have this kind of attitude or approach or these qualities, then it becomes a lot harder for them to really get the outcome they want. Is there anything like that are, I don't know, some indicators of success?
Yeah. Engagement is the first one, being willing to engage in their process and look into their lives. And it may take a little journey to get there, but, you know, just a willingness to not blame it all on the husband, you know, that this is his problem. You know, it's like, well, it's a relational problem is because you're married. So, on the converse, it would be someone who's just really stuck and blaming everybody else, who legitimately has a lot of anger, but they're not willing to work through it and let the Lord come in and be their strength. I know my turning point in my process was one day I was just kind of talking to God and just saying, well, you know, I don't trust people, but I trust you, God. And he said, Lila, you really don't even trust me. And it was in a very gentle but firm way. And there was no condemnation with it whatsoever because he doesn't speak that way. But it just hit me to the core of my heart. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't. I really don't. And that was my turning point in really seeing change for myself, change in my engagement. I was engaging, but I needed to engage more.
if you were talking, so, I mean, you know, it's mostly men that do listen to the show, and we're obviously going to make a huge push for them to share this with their wives and whatnot. But talking to the men who are on the recovery journey, whether they're early on, maybe they're about to cross the finish line, or if they're somewhere in the middle, and they're hearing you, they're hearing, okay, you know, I don't just need to get free. I know I need to rebuild trust in the relationship. What are some of the do's and don'ts that men should be doing while in recovery so that they don't end up in that place where the relationship's healed, but, or sorry, the recovery's complete, but the relationship is still broken? What are things they can do to contribute to the success of both?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, understanding that reestablishing trust is going to take time. Hear it from the wives. My husband just keeps telling me I don't trust him, and how can I trust him? I'm like, you're right. You can't right now. And just recognizing that trust has to be rebuilt. It's not just this little magic thing that we give over. Betrayal trauma is based on the betrayal of trust. And there is brain chemistry that is affected in this. It's I equate it by description of imagining when the Twin Towers fell and this video that we all saw of the people walking out of there, covered in that white dust, looking like zombies. That is what your wife feels like when she finds out this information. It is that intense. And some are a little better at hiding that than others, but the brain fog, you can't think straight. It's the same as like losing someone very important in your life, having them die suddenly. It's the same kind of thing. And grieving is going to be a major part of her first steps. Learning how to grieve.
What is she grieving?
She's grieving the loss of who she thought her husband was, what their relationship was, questioning whether their whole life has been a lie and everything he said is a lie. Just a lot of those kinds of things. Like, and where am I, what am I going to do now? And what should I do now? And there's a spectrum of responses in that arena, which I'm sure you see. And understanding she needs empathy, and it can be very, very hard to do this. Because the guy needs empathy too, but he's not necessarily going to get it from his wife at the beginning, because she is just a mess. I mean, he's maybe been aware of this thing for years or whatever, and he's the one that's coming, you know, to work on this. But for her, this is all new, you know, the actual reality of, even though she's known and suspected that maybe some things have been going on, when it finally comes down to it, it's all new, and she's at ground zero, and he may be, you know, way steps ahead. He has to have compassion and empathy for that. And like I say, it's hard because he's struggling and needing those things too, but it can be done. Learning that she needs that. It's not okay for her to abuse him verbally or physically or anything like that. It's not okay to let anybody do that. But understanding that there's going to be a lot of hurt and anger that's going to come out. And I think Carol Jurgensen Sheets handles this really well. And just saying she needs empathy. She needs to be understood.
Yeah. I was just going to say empathy is such a challenging thing for me to understand, because, you know, a lot of the recovery world for men doesn't even really teach empathy for them. It's purity culture. It's behavior modification. So the whole concept of empathy, it's rooted in the gospel, and it's so hard to grasp because we just don't really hear about it. And then you got betrayal trauma, so much empathy for these women. So yeah, I love your approach and what you're saying about the grief. It really hits home, regardless if someone is listening to this who's been through betrayal trauma or any loss. You can just say, yeah, that's grief, and it's so hard to work through, because yeah, we don't even have a culture that promotes or allows us to have permission to grieve. So the work that you're doing is fantastic to help women do that.
Well, Lila, this has been so great. And obviously, you know, we want people to go find out more about you. There is a link that we're going to put in the show notes for women who are listening who want to book a time. If they feel like, you know, they resonated and they want to maybe find out more, there's no fee or anything attached there. And we really appreciate you waiving that. But then I guess just for maybe for people who aren't quite ready to book a call with you, but they want to find out a little bit more about this whole betrayal trauma thing and, you know, get a little bit more informed, what would you recommend to somebody who just wants to learn a bit more first?
As far as reading materials, I think Barbara Steffens and Marsha Mee's book, Your Sexually Addicted Spouse, is really helpful. And there's a number of resources out there, a lot more than there used to be. That's a good place to start. And also, if you getting connected with some other women who are going to support you, to love you and maybe even love your spouse in spite of all this, but that's the kind of support you want. You don't necessarily want someone who's going to come along and say, you got to kick that guy to the curb, you know, kind of thing.
Do those women that they connect with need to understand betrayal trauma? Do they need to have gone through it themselves? Or is it more just that they're able to offer that meaningful connection?
It's really more that they're able to offer the meaningful connection. If they can, if they do have some experience, that's great. Hopefully it's good experience, but yes, that meaningful connection is so powerful, because that's another part where I know the strugglers have difficulty having deep, intimate relationships with other men. Well, spouses have the same challenge with women for a lot of reasons. Yeah. So learning to have some close people to support you, phone a friend when you're feeling triggered or just having a hard time, go out for coffee, whatever, those are important. To do.
Yeah, that's a good word. We'll put links in the show notes to your booking link, the book that you recommended as well. I've heard that name several times, the title. I haven't read it myself, but I know it's really highly regarded.
Yeah.
Lila, thank you for the work you're doing. Thanks for sharing your story today and for being with us. Well, there you have it, man. I so respect Lila, just sharing an amazing story, sticking your neck out there. But even more so, I appreciate the wisdom. You can just tell there's a depth. There's a real understanding, and she is not somebody who's trying to pretend that she's got it everything perfectly figured out, but she certainly has figured out a good deal of things along the way in the, you know, 20 years or so since she kind of embarked on this journey. So women, if you're listening, you're dealing with betrayal trauma and you maybe aren't even positive you want to get some help. I mean, if you're positive you want to get some help, you definitely want to go check out Lila's stuff. But even if you just want to check it out more, that link gets you a chance to book a free call where you can ask her a bit more, find out about her process. See if your situation is even applicable for her services, and then you guys can take it from there. And to the men who are listening, you know, maybe this is a wake-up call and you're realizing, man, I really care about my loved one. I didn't realize how much I was affecting her, and you know it's time to stop. There's also a link in the show notes for you to check out my free case study. This is just a chance for you to get a glimpse of what it looks like to be part of Deep Clean Coaching, which is my coaching program. I built it with my own bare hands. Not really true. I built it with my mind as a digital product. But this has helped thousands of guys around the world quit pornography successfully by getting to the root issues, okay? And when I say that, what I'm talking about is infusing scriptural principles, science-backed concepts together in a really practical and easy-to-understand way. It comes with all-inclusive coaching, group coaching, one-on-one coaching, a little bit of everything, all designed to help you from A to Z make a full recovery. Link is in the show notes. Check it out. This is for guys who are serious about getting help. So if you're not sure, or if you're just dabbling a little bit, that's probably not the right step. You can go check out our book or keep listening to the show. But guys, if you're serious about recovery, you're ready to make a change, and you want to quit porn successfully in the next 120 days, the link is in the show notes. We'd love to speak with you and see if this makes sense to do something together. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you share this with anybody else that you think needs to hear it, a significant other, or maybe some friends that you know that are going through it. Or maybe you have a leader, you know, in a community, whether it's a church or something else that's public facing, where you know that they'd benefit from hearing this kind of material. Make sure you spread the word. That really helps us grow, and it helps us make this world a better, safer, cleaner place. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless. Talk soon. Hey man, it's Sathya again. I wanted to let you know really quick about a resource that I made just for listeners of this podcast. It's called The Last Relapse. It's actually a book that details my entire recovery process all the way from the beginning to the very end. If you are looking for a system, you want to understand what it is that we're talking about here when we talk about getting to the roots, what it looks like, you want practical tips and tools, this book is for you, and you can get it for free at thelastrelapsebook.com. That's my gift to you. And to sweeten the deal a little bit, you should know that this book also comes with a copy of a free workbook so you can actually take all the stuff that you learned to the next level and stack the odds in your favor of making a full recovery through this resource. Thousands of people have got their hands on this. Their lives have been changed, and I'd love to see you do the same. Go to thelastrelapsebook.com and get your copy now. And look, if you're more of a physical book kind of guy, you can buy the book anywhere online where books are sold. All the money that we make from those books goes to a charity in Uganda. We make no money off of it. It is literally just our gift to the world to make the world a better place and to help men like you quit pornography. Get your copy now at thelastrelapsebook.com